Welcome back. You're listening to No One Is Illegal Radio, a show about the frontline struggles for justice, dignity, and self-determination by migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. We're part of Off the Hour at CKUT 90.3 FM. We're grassroots community radio on the island of Montreal. We continue our Fortress Europe theme, but move away from Germany to the UK and France, and the recent No Border Camp at Calais. Calais is a major gateway for migrants into the UK from continental Europe, and a flashpoint for EU anti-border and anti-migrant policies. For insight, Jaggy spoke with Dan, a member of London No Borders. We'll go to that interview right now.
I'm speaking with Dan. Dan is a member of London No Borders. Dan, welcome to No One's Illegal Radio.
Thanks. Hi, Dan.
Dan, we're speaking to you in the context of the No Border Camp that took place in Calais in June. Could you tell our listeners about the No Border Camp at Calais?
We had a protest camp in Calais at the end of June for 6 days. So the idea of the camp was to get different activists together from mainly from the UK, France and Belgium, but also, you know, wide other parts of Europe as well, to come together and protest about what's been going on in Calais and kind of offer a different, offer a different political perspective. The camp was basically, we had some workshops and things like that. And then there was also a big demo on the Saturday of the camp where we marched through the centre of Calais calling for an end to migration controls and for no borders.
Dan, talk more about the camp at Calais and particularly the interaction between those people who are activists, that is people who might not be directly threatened by deportation or detention, and those people who are migrants and are directly affected by those issues.
What was a really good feature of the camp, I think, was the fact that basically where we set up, which was on the sort of east side of Calais, right on the edge of the town, we were quite close to the jungle, which is the area where a lot of the migrants live. And what we actually found is we were very close to a place where sort of a handful of migrants were staying. And from the start of the camp, these migrants were quite keen to be involved in the camp. So they were around quite a lot. They're helping like set up the infrastructure and stuff. And then, you know, that got a lot of communication going, and, you know, sat down and had food with the migrants and chatted more. So that was really interesting, the kind of interaction that took place. And I think that it kind of took place throughout the whole camp as well. Like, for example, when we had some of the meetings, like the general meetings for the camp, and not only being translated into English and French, but also Farsi, Kurdish at some points. I think at one point there was 5 languages being spoken, which, you know, it slowed up the meeting, but I think it was a really, really good thing to happen. You know, the migrants' voice were being heard, and obviously we were coming from a kind of non-hierarchical perspective, so it was really important that everyone, you know, everyone had their voice and got involved. And I think, just like to mention, another really important point of the camp, which certainly for me personally was unexpected, was that local people also got quite involved. As I said, we were kind of on the east of Calais, and there were people, we were just near quite a poor area, really, and the locals also kind of came and got involved in the camp and started chatting not only to us but also to the migrants. And there was quite a few times where, you know, the locals and the migrants had a game of soccer, and that was really, you know, a really, really positive thing, because it's not, you know, there's rarely that interaction between the two groups, so it's kind of nice that happened during the camp.
Could you talk a bit more about the whole tactic of No Border Camps? These are something that are quite common in Europe over the past decade or so. There's currently a No Border Camp in Lesbos in Greece, which is another entry point for migrants. talk to us about this no border no border camp tactic.
No border camps have happened in Europe for about the last 10 years. Finns tended to be kind of one or two a year. I mean, certainly in terms of for Calais, we felt this was kind of the best way to get to kind of bring people together. And it seems to be a model that works quite well. But we weren't kind of dogmatic in thinking we have to have a camp. It's just from what we wanted to achieve, from what I aimed, it kind of made sense for us to do that.
And in terms of collaborating with allies in France and with Belgium, how was that coordinated? How did you get to organizing this no border camp?
A couple of years ago, we had a no border camp in the UK. At that camp, one of the ideas that came out was an idea of doing something in Calais or something in Dover. So basically, there was a few contacts there, and the idea kind of lay dormant for about a year. And then sort of in autumn last year, a few of us from the UK sort of decided this was we'd quite like to kind of actually do something around Calais. So we got in contact with those people, those contacts we'd made already, and then we basically started meeting in Calais, you know, invited different people, and then had a series of meetings over the course of 4 or 5 months, where we brought kind of, you know, different activists together to plan what we were going to do for the camp.
Dan, I've read the camp statement that was issued on June 28th this year from the Calais No Border Camp, which includes arguing for the unconditional entry into the UK, freedom of movement for all around Calais, no repeat arrests, an end to deportations. As a member of No One Is Illegal Here in Montreal, these are demands that we are very, very sympathetic with. But as we know, in the campaign for migrant rights, these kinds of demands are not often widespread amongst refugee advocates, asylum seeker advocates, and what have you. Could you speak to those demands, speak to where they come from, to what extent they're representing the direct lived experiences of migrants that go through places like Calais to get to the UK?
That camp statement came out of the last day of the camp, the Sunday, where we had a kind of plenary meeting which ended up in split off into different workshops and came back. And that was quite a long process where basically activists, so-called migrants that are around and kind of local people all came together to kind of thrash out these demands. So it came from everyone, really, rather than just coming from the activists that had, started to plan the camp. I mean, in terms of the demands in their kind of radical nature, I think that generally there's quite a lot of discourse in Calais about people want Britain to take some responsibility for the situation that's going on there, because, you know, it's directly caused by British immigration policy. And even people who are, you know, not left-wing or anarchists or anything like that would maybe say, you know, Britain needs to allow the people who are at Calais need to be let across the border into the UK. But that demand is not, I mean, if we made that demand in London or in Britain, it probably wouldn't go down so well. But for a lot of people there, that idea of people being allowed to move to the UK is not as radical as it might seem in other contexts.
Could you speak to that more? Why isn't it as radical as it might seem in other contexts? Certainly here in Canada, if we were to make the case that that there should be unconditional entry into the Canadian state, that would be seen as quite a radical demand. Why is that perhaps something that's more acceptable in the UK context?
If you spoke to people on the ground in Calais, I'm not necessarily just talking about the associations, but all the groups are active, but also just your general person on the street. You know, everyone, well, you know, a big majority of, a big number of people kind of recognize, you know, that these people are in Calais, the migrants are there in a really bad situation, and they think, why doesn't Britain take some responsibility, take these people? So I guess it's not so much, I don't think it would be thought of if suddenly that demand was changed to say that all people, you know, should be free to move anywhere. Then I think you'd have a different view. But I guess that the way that that's, I mean, I have to say, I haven't read the camp statement for a little while, but I guess the way it's formulated, it came out more as a demand for people to be able to move to Britain rather than a more general demand for anyone to be able to move anywhere, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Could you speak a bit more about the No Border Camp within the organizing of London No Borders as a group? How do you see this tactic as part of your day-to-day organizing? And describe a little bit the kind of organizing that you're trying to do as London No Borders.
The people that organized from the UK weren't just part of London No Borders. There were No Borders crews from across the country. But certainly in London, I mean, Calais is only 100 miles away from London. It's really not very far. So we, you know, and there's that very, the real connection between a lot of people that are in Calais will head to London. So there's that real kind of connection there as well. So I think certainly, you know, that made it important for us to kind of make these links. And I think we saw it more generally in that it's very important to act on what's going on in Calais, but there's increased cooperation between the British and French governments about migration policy and deportations and things like that. And we certainly in the past haven't had great links with activists in France and Belgium and stuff, so we really wanted to build up those links. So it meant not only that we can do stuff in Calais, but, you know, more widely act on, you know, immigration policy.
All right, Dan, thank you for speaking to us on No One's Legal Radio from London, UK.